Blog Talk Radio.
This is what it is, okay? I said, empty your mind. Be formless, shapeless, like water. Now, you put water into a cup, it becomes the cup. You put water into a bottle, it becomes the bottle. You put it in a teapot, it becomes the teapot. Now, water can flow or it can crash. Be water, my friend.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane.
No, it's Max, Darrow, and D-Bert, your host for the Comic Shop Show.
Folks, Grindhouse Sundays, we're back again. This is your host, G-Bert, a.k.a. The Afternerd, and some friends, of course, my crew. Folks, we are surviving Frankenstorm Sandy. Trust me on that. It's still going down, but we're still here. Grindhouse Sundays, double show, 2 hours of funky, fiery fun. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. If my tonality sounds a bit strange, my mics are down, so we're going old school. Nevertheless, the show still goes on. Let's go to a quick nerdcore break. This is MC Frontalot. Good old Clyde. Good old Clyde. We'll be back in a few moments. Let's groove.
That's how all the trouble started.
We're back once again. MC Frontalot. Good old Clyde. All right, folks. This is the Comic Shop portion, the first hour, and, of course, Afternerd Radio, the second hour at 7 p.m. But I cannot do the show effectively without the crew. Captain, what's up?
How do you read me? How do you read me?
You're read fine and clear.
Thank you.
All right, and then, of course, the man of the moment, and he's not exactly in our location. He's down south. I guess he'll explain it in a moment. This is, of course, the great Daryl B.
To you, coming to you live from Kennesaw, Georgia, during the celebration of my ex-unit, one of my guys is retiring from the military. But on that note, my thanks to all the first responders, all the military, all the cops, all the special services workers who helped people out during this hurricane. And my thoughts and prayers out to you and your family, along with everybody else hit. Back to you, Afternoon.
Definitely. Gentlemen, we have a lot to get into. We only have about an hour or less, actually. Again, folks, this is the Comic Shop first, Afternoon Radio second. One quick note as well. We had advertised, for as far as top billing, Mr. Arthur Baker and, of course, Mr. I'm forgetting his name, Mr. Nelson George. And unfortunately, there's been a cancellation, so we should try to get them back on Wednesday. We'll see. I think it's a good chance that we'll get them on Wednesday, folks, but these things do happen. We're still in the middle of recovering from this devastating storm, Sandy, the Frankenstorm Sandy, so some things are going to be a bit awry. Anyway, on our end, the show will still go on. Gentlemen, let's get into comic book discourse. I guess the main issue for the last week has been, besides Sandy, has been this acquisition on the part of Disney with Lucasfilm. Daryl, what have you heard about this acquisition? I think it's $4 billion and some change. What are your thoughts on this? What do you think are the ramifications of this buyout? What do you think is going on?
Well, the first thing, as a sci-fi fan, I see it as Disney starting to corner the market on everything sci-fi and fantasy. Think about it. They got Marvel Comics and most of their freaking characters. All right, now you get Lucasfilm, who not only have their hands in Star Wars, but if you think about the amount of movies, science fiction movies, that has used Lucasfilms as their sci-fi knowledge, their sci-fi, the guys behind their special effects. Then throw in movies like Red Tails, like, what was that mob movie with... It'll come to me. Not Road to Perdition, the other one that had the dude as the cook. Lucasfilm did part of their fight.
History of Violence.
History of Violence.
You know what? Hold on for a second, Daryl. I think we have a special guest for round two, actually. Mr. Walker?
Yes.
Welcome back again to the Comic Shop.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
How are things? We figured you'd have you come in as a crew member this time to join in the festivities to talk about all things comic books, sci-fi, fantasy, you name it. You seem to be a great addition, so we figured you'd have it back for round two. And, of course, to sell your wares as well. There's some new information coming out that maybe you may want to share with the audience, but we wanted you to come back again if you didn't mind.
Hey man, I'm happy to be back. It's good. It was good. I had fun. So,
one quick thing, Daryl. I'm sorry to interrupt. You were talking about this is the big thing, Dave, about this deal with Lucasfilm being bought out by Disney. Proceed,
yeah.
Daryl. Your thoughts?
Oh, I'm just saying that now Disney, because they have Lucasfilm. You know, they now got their fingers in a much larger pie. I mean, Cap can go over the comic end of it, but to me, without that keen economic eye, that's them cornering that market. And who's next? The rights to Harry Potter? The rights to Lord of the Rings? Who's next? Star Trek? Who's next? They got all of that coming down. We'll speak later about their plans involving the Episode 7 movie and 8 and 9 and how they're not going to follow the novels and everything, but this can only be seen as a partial coup by the Disney Corporation. Back to you, Afro Nerd.
Captain, what are your thoughts on this buyout? I mean, what, a year ago? When was it, a year ago, 2 years ago? Marvel was purchased by Disney for about $5 billion. they were able to get, I guess, 5,000 characters or more in this deal. Now we're hearing that Lucasfilm has also been bought out. I will say this much, from my understanding, George Lucas has actually donated, or he says he's going to donate $4 billion towards education. So that's pretty big. What are your thoughts on this, Captain? What do you think is going to happen because of this deal? Captain.
Uh-oh.
Oh, God. Not again.
Can you hear me? Can you
hear
me?
Yes.
There you go.
Please.
All right.
Your
All
thoughts.
Right. Now, here's the thing. You know, if he's donating that much money to education, that's fine. Well, why do you sell it then? You know, I was underneath the assumption, you know, you're getting old at this given point. You don't necessarily want to deal with everything. You just say, let me just let it go. Because he's always been a very independent individual in the way, you know, he wanted things shaped and everything. Even as the way he did Red Tails. A lot of people said that wasn't really the best way to have done something such as Red Tails. And also, it's been done already by other people and done better, you know. So it's kind of interesting. If you're going to put that much money into education, and yes, we know education is key and something we always talk about here on the show, why go ahead and sell it then? You know, maybe you hold on to it, you know, a little while longer. I know he's eight, getting along in age and everything. You do something else with it. Now, speaking for us, Disney's a monster, straight monster, monster corporation. And you know how corporations do things from time to time. Sometimes they do things that are very good, and then other times they do what I always like to refer to as Colgate Palmolive. Cookie cutter, me too, just throw it out, let's make a dollar. And you at home, you're looking at the property and say, you couldn't give me something a little bit better? You couldn't do a better job? Yeah, it made some dollars and everything, but it's not necessarily the best in the best interest of the fan all the time to have a big company to do everything. You need independence doing things to get sometimes the property true to form the way it should go, and also just to get different ideology. So time will tell if this is actually a good thing. I don't like Disney just snatching up everything. There should be other people involved in this type of, you know, situation. You know, I just never like that when one person comes along and says, give me this, and they're doing everything. Because everything turns around, even though they're things are different, it has the same spin on it. Back over to you, Sir Africa.
Okay. Our guest, Mr. Walker, any thoughts on this buyout between Disney and Lucasfilm? Your opinion.
Well, you know, I'll be honest, I'm not the world's biggest Star Wars fan anyway. So from that standpoint, like, the chances of Disney making a movie worse than the three prequels, in my estimation, is slim to none. They'd have to go way out of their way to make something worse than The Phantom Menace. So, you know, I agree. They kind of have a lock on a lot of things right now. I think with Lucas, I think it was really – I think part of the reason I think he did it is, you know, he's like 70 years old. He's pushing 70. He's not quite 70 yet. And I think he just wants to move on with his life and just do something. I mean, I personally think his two best films ever were THX-1138 and An American Graffiti. And
right, oh, yeah, 1972.
You know, Star Wars bought him a lot of – gave him a lot of money and a lot of credibility, but it also, you know, he was locked in the Star Wars thing for a long time. That's all people think of with him. And it's like, if he can make $4 billion, walk away from the table and then put that $4 billion into better use, I don't have any problem with that, you know. I think that it just means that, you know, Disney's got a lock on that sort of the genre entertainment that so many of us love. But I also think that means that there's room for independents to try to start doing their own thing and just trying to get out there. Because if we don't want to see that sort of Disney brand stamped on things that we like, then some creators have to step up to the table and give us something new. I mean, I just kind of – it's funny to me because, you know, Star Wars is pushing 40 years old. It's a franchise that to me has not – that peaked in 1980, which was, you know, 32 years ago. And we're still talking about it like it's the greatest thing ever, and I don't think it's the greatest thing ever. I don't know what the greatest thing ever is, but I want to see some new stuff out there. I want to see stuff that's more diverse, You know, I don't, yeah, because those last three movies just made me just angry. They didn't make me sad. They just made me angry.
I tell you something. I have to concur with what you're talking about because, you know, just like you, I'm actually not the biggest Star Wars guy. I'm a Star Trek guy. As a kid, I was into the Star Wars thing a little bit. I mean, I was into the first and second, even the third one, the first wave. Not really the prequel. It's kind of weird. Everything's backwards, but those late 70s, early 80s stuff, I actually liked, and I thought they are classic stuff. But unfortunately for Lucas, because I guess he's so anal in a way, he's kind of made some changes that his fan base did not like to this day. I mean, I spoke to the captain behind the scenes, and I said that imagine if a classic like Gone with the Wind or The Wizard of Oz was screwed around with, where all of a sudden some different character that was reintroduced from a later version of it was brought back and kind of pigeonholed into it. You would mess around with it. I mean, this stuff is art. It is art, and there's a thing about having, you know, future generations look at the original piece of work, and Lucas really didn't care about that. You know, you could tell. I mean, I would want to see, and you might want to see certain things cleaned up or that kind of thing, but you don't want things changed around. He actually changed some of his stuff, so he himself, in a way, I think, ruined his brand in a way. And I also mentioned this as well. It took me a moment to realize, wait a minute, this is, like you said, this is pushing on a 40-year-old property. It's been talked about. God bless him. But this is, I guess, to his genius, that it is so relevant that you forgot that almost four decades have passed since the original showing of Star Wars, and people still care. But at the same time, we saw what has happened with the Star Trek franchise, that they've, you know, put some more juice into it. They have J.J. Abrams behind that. So they've actually rejuvenated that dying thing. You know, they had a number of films that did very well, but then it started to taper off.
Yeah.
So, and then the Star Trek Enterprise that came out a few years back, that didn't really hold up with the other iterations, iterations before, as far as the television part of it. So it was a dying thing. Now, because of the rejuvenation factor, people have an interest in it again. So hopefully, I might have greater concerns if I had more of a love for Star Wars or more of a personal stake in it. But this might be, I'm saying might in quotes, this might be a good thing, might be. Marvel, it seems to have worked out for Marvel. People were scared. I think if Disney doesn't mess around with this stuff, they tried to mess around with Pixar years ago. Pixar has an excellent track record. You know, they stay making money, as they say on the street. They stay making money. So there was a point where they were going to tweak around with it, and then they were told to back off, or else Pixar themselves said, we'll just leave. So they seem to have learned not to mess around with these properties. We'll see.
Well, I'll just say it like this, okay? Be very frank. If you are a Star Wars fan, and all you're concerned with is the same characters, then you know what? You're not the one for this, all right? You're the one that's stuck in the rock. Mr. Walker's own company, Dark Horse, has created such a vibrant universe from the the Star Wars mythos, you know, with stuff like Skywalker. They have a James Bond-type character that works for the Empire now, Agent of the Empire. There are so many novels and books that, you know, I was mad when they said what they said about, oh, we're not going to follow the legacy of Han, Leia, and Luke. But at the same time, you know, hey, you guys got so many, like, they expanded the universe so much that all they need to do is make a competent movie from all of this rich lore. It just remains to see if Disney can do it. Back to you, Afro Nerd.
Gentlemen, let's take a quick musical break. More with Mr. Walker. I want to hear more about some of the projects, if you can talk about it. I think in the email you said you could only say so much. And of course,
I've got one project I can definitely talk about. Another one I could be cryptic about.
Okay. Well, that's pretty much a comic book thing. So that's okay.
Also,
we have to also talk about number 13 coming up. So I'm really eager about that. Anyway, let's go to a quick groove. This is Adam Warrock, a little bit of Nerdcore, Old Man Logan. We'll be back in a few moments. Let's groove.
My skin is thick and my skeleton's adamantium. My claws are sharp when I'm brandishing. Berserker rage is beneath the surface that I'm handling. Some past demons I'm battling. Like beef, like Catalan. Older than most of these young rap cats. That's why I got a lot more just to talk about. And yes, I'm turning 32 with something to laugh back. I've seen a lot of things in my past that only made me stronger but colder inside. And so I got the flannel shirt that keeps the warmth close to mine. And I got some gray hairs, some wrinkles in time. It's like the rings of a tree telling the story of mine. Yeah, age with wisdom, love and understanding. But I'll kill you if you fuck with me and my fam friends. Don't let appearances fool, cause I move slow and the beast is at rest. And you don't know how bad I am in the flesh. About time we did something nerdy, right? We got 24 hours, let's do this. Come on. They call me Old Man Logan. Alright, I got the lowered expectations. In a fight, cause I'm a samurai. X-Man, killer inside. So don't let the grown man shit fool you, young child. Now y'all are just Teen Titans, Avengers Academy. I'm the teacher with the syllabus. Jean Grey School for gifted and talented mutant beings in their anatomy. X-Gene, y'all best to follow the rules. And I treat my women with respect. Mariko, I'm old school in the flesh. Coleco, the school's upstate New York. Oswego, I drink tequila when I'm at rest. Amigo, yeah. Weapon X programming inside of my brain that causes animalistic mannerisms when I be handling this. They like you mad, bro, I'm like we ain't brothers. And you can slice my sword, I only recover. Healing factor sent you reeling after the bleeding. Saps all of your energy in a fight. I'm a bad motherfucker, can't you see? And you fuck with the Wolverine, you get the claws right in your face. Cause shit is over when you give me a taste.
Hey, yo, I ain't no spring chicken, but like, you know, no matter, right? Come on.
They call me Old Man Logan. Alright, I got the lowered expectations. In a fight, cause I'm a samurai. X-Man, killer inside. So don't let the grown man shit fool you, young child. And someday this will all make sense. And someday this will all make sense. And someday this will all make sense.
Okay, we're back. Once again, this is the Comic Shop, the Grindhouse Sundays edition. That was Adam Warrock, Old Man Logan. Apologies for the expletives, folks. We do try to run a clean ship, but I didn't get a chance to really edit that stuff out. I still give kudos for a person that could actually rap about comic books in that kind of detail. So he gives. I get a lot of props even with the cursing in it. I think it's pretty incredible. Unfortunately, you're not going to hear this kind of rap or anything good in conventional radio, so you'll hear it here at Afro Radio, a.k.a. The Comic Shop. All right, gentlemen, let's go to another topic. Let's do a quick transition. I want to talk about – I was going to talk about Arrow, but before we get to the Arrow TV series, CW's Arrow, I want to talk about the Iron Man 3 trailer. We failed to talk about it last week. What were your thoughts about this trailer coming up for, I think, May 2013? Mr. Walker, you're up. What are your thoughts about it? Did you get a chance to check out the latest Iron Man 3 trailer?
Oh, of course. Come on. You know, I mean, yeah,
well,
I checked out the trailer.
I don't want to presume.
I didn't think it was the best trailer, per se, but I have a lot of confidence in it because Shane Black wrote and directed it, and, you know, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang was the last movie he wrote and directed, which was really kind of reinvented Robert Downey Jr.'s career and eventually led him to Iron Man. It was sort of, you know, an actor reinventing himself. And you know, I've talked to a couple of people I know who work for Marvel who had a chance to read early drafts of the script, and they all said that the script was great. And so I'm feeling really confident about it. I wish the trailer was a lot better. I got the impression that, you know, they were trying to market it as being a darker film simply because, you know, the Avengers was, you know, had some darker elements to it. But I'm hoping that they don't go in that, you know, that really dark tone. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, I'm going to go see it. It would have to be bad like Green Lantern for me to not go see it.
Oh, yeah.
If, you know,
leave it to Warner Brothers on that. Daryl, you had some interesting things to talk about. What you had some disparaging things, I thought, you know, from some parts of the nerd community. Tell us about what you heard about this trailer thus far.
Well, simply put, you know, if everybody's got to be out there to give their opinion when the trailer comes out. So I'm on Comics Alliance, and I'm reading some of the comments there, and they directed me to Twitter. So let's create a Twitter where everybody's hating on this. And I'm like, guys, it's the first trailer. What? Oh, too dark. Oh, God, what are they doing? Oh, this week's a doozy. It's the first trailer. I mean, come on. If everything was as bad as some first trailers, or everything as great as some first trailers, then why go see the movie? You saw everything in the trailer. There it is. And especially, it's too dark. Hello? This is supposed to be dealing with his alcoholism, the Mandarin, the Iron Patriot. What about those three things are light and sunny? Help me out here. I don't know. And I'm the dude that likes to criticize everything. And I'm telling you, you guys are being too critical. Sometimes, Alpha Nerd, we can't win. We can't win. I didn't expect the trailer this until the end of December. And we're getting one now. And these people have been happy. Back to you.
Yeah, you know, I will confess. Well, first of all, I was excited about it. I thought the second Iron Man was a bit disappointing. The first one really knocked it out of the box. I thought the third one was a great turnaround. And actually, I was hoping that they would put some elements, that was talk about it, they would put some elements from the extremist storyline, as well as, you know, the motion comic also had the extremist thing. And I thought that that would be a good way to go. So it looks like it's probably going to touch on the extremist storyline again, folks. For those who are in the know, extremist deals with Iron Man, I guess, essentially really becoming an Iron Man and actually able to, I guess, inject this extremist solution that enables him to summon his armor. Is that correct, Daryl, more or less? He's able to pretty much, you know, instead of going into his suitcase from the 60s, he's able to essentially become Iron Man on a DNA level. Is that correct?
Yeah, essentially, think about it. He becomes kind of like a Venom. The
right.
Suit reacts to his thoughts and just comes and melds with him. His body becomes, we often say the human brain is a giant computer. His body essentially becomes a human brain, which is like a giant computer. And the suit reacts to his thoughts. So no longer does he have to carry a briefcase, you know. There are times where the inner part of the suit can form around him just by secreting through his body. He's essentially a walkie-talking smart computer, which would make him, what, if we judge like the fourth, third, maybe the second smartest man on Earth now, you know? But the thing is, and this is how I'm judging this. Remember, extremists came out way later than Demon in the Bottle. So
right.
If you combine his alcoholism with his body being a giant computer, let's just say I'm interested to see how the director melds these two things. Because it has the thing to be real thought-provoking or real cheesy. But like I said, we have to give this a chance. You know,
well, you know what? One thing I actually was concerned about, not so much about the extremist thing, but I thought about the introduction of the Mandarin. Whether, and I'm going to kind of throw this out around the horn a little bit with you gentlemen, but my problem with the, I mean, listen, I grew up on the Mandarin, but as you become more politically aware, there's been issues of the Mandarin. Listen, we just spoke last week about yellow face minstrelsy with the Cloud Atlas movie, which is doing abysmally. But there's a line of thinking that the Mandarin is a minstrel. You know, that it goes back to Fu Manchu and that, you know, the Yellow Scare and that kind of thing. So it's an historical thing where, you know, we've seen going back to, I guess, the late 1800s, early 20th century, where we saw these type of villains. And, you know, he kind of played up on that role a little bit. So I guess maybe they'll modernize him. Ben Kingsley, a phenomenal actor, who's also a part Indian extraction. So I guess he technically would be Asian. But wasn't there some concern about just that the character himself, the Mandarin, bringing that in to a 21st century setting? You know, was that? Let's go to the Capitol on this. Do you think that might be problematic as well? No one seems to be saying anything. But what are your thoughts?
I really don't think that, you know, it's going to really be that problematic. I think due to the exciting power set of the Mandarin for the uninitiated, you know, he has 10 power rings, you know, so I think that will obliterate and blind people to other things that are going on. I think this is just something that they're going to do very well at this given point. I think, you know, the people that are behind Iron Man, I think they're just going to do a very good job, and that will blind people to the lesser things, the little lesser evils that are going on with this third installment. So I don't think it will be an issue, to answer the question. Back over to you, Sir Aphelmer.
So you don't think there's going to be any shadows of Christopher Lee?
No.
From the 60s?
Not at all.
I have to admit, I like that kitschy stuff, but, you know, there's an argument that it might be, you know, somewhat racist. Hopefully, you know, we won't really go into that. I mean, they've actually even modernized. There's a recent storyline with the Mandarin that just closed off, I think, an issue or two issues ago. But that Mandarin's a younger, kind of a more of a business-looking Asian person, but not with the, you know, the long gown and, you know, the whole, you know. I don't know, but I will admit, I guess the jury's still out, so we'll just have to wait and see. But I think that the trailer within itself, I'm eager for the film. I guess that's really the ultimate thing, is that everybody goes to this film, and I think they're going to make their money regardless. Again, folks, you're listening to The Comic Shop. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. We have in attendance Mr. David Walker. Could you tell us a bit more about these, you know, what you can say and what you can't say with your project?
Well, I got two big, I don't know if you call them big projects. I got two projects looming on the horizon, in addition to number 13, which issue number 0 of that comes out through Dark Horse this month in just about 2 weeks, I guess. And I'm diligently trying to finish up my second novel. I wrote a young adult novel that was published last year, which is set in a superhero world, in a universe that I created on my own. And the lead character is a 17-year-old black kid by the name of Darius Logan. And so that's been, you know, that was, I spent a couple of years writing the book and then had an agent and had a manager, and everybody was all excited and thought for sure we were going to get this great deal, and the deal never happened. It was that classic story of it was rejected by every single major publisher in North America and then some of the smaller independent publishers. And they kept saying the same things over and over again, which was, you know, teenage boys don't read. This was my book's, you know, geared towards an older teen readership. But then they also kept saying things like, well, we had trouble relating to the character, which, like, after the seventh or eighth time I heard that, I realized that was code for, well, he's not a white kid, so, you know, we just can't understand where he's coming from. So I spent like 7 or 8 months really thinking about it after that last rejection had come in, and decided just to put the book out myself, and went forward and did it. And that's been a long struggle, and I'm now just working on the sequel to it, which the first draft is, I'm working to get the first draft done by the end of this year, so that the second book will be out in the spring of 2013, probably around April or something like that. And that's the big thing. I, you know, I created that character and the book and the universe because of everything that, like, we were talking about last week, which was, you know, I looked around and I didn't see any heroes that I could relate to. And it's been 30 years since I was, you know, more than 30 years since I started reading comics. And I just decided to do this in another medium altogether and just sort of stay away from comics and go into books. And so that's the big thing. That's probably the biggest thing I'm working on other than number 13, which is coming out. And then I have another project that I had to sign a non-disclosure agreement, so I can't talk about it other than to say it's a project that when it comes out, like, every black comic reader that complains about these things is going to get what they've been asking for, an incredibly diverse cast with a story that hopefully they can all really sink their teeth into.
Sounds good. Sounds exciting. I wish you success on it. We'll definitely tout the hell out of it on this show.
So
we need it. I think it's just time, and that tired excuse of it's not relatable, that's wearing thin also, because we've seen so many projects that when they do see the light of day, they are successful, and people are, you know, you find out the history that they've been rejected so many times. People just do not know what the hell they're doing in some of these, you know, the suits that we always talk about, the quote-unquote suits. You find out more and more that they've rejected a whole lot of stuff that ended up being incredibly successful. There's no rhyme or reason to this thing.
Yeah,
there's no written rule, so it boggles the mind.
When I was working in my first novel, the title is Darius Logan, Super Justice Force, and after I finished the first couple drafts of it, I started recruiting test readers, you know, to see how it was working, and most of my test readers were the daughters of friends of mine. So, because most of my friends have daughters, there's very few that have sons, and so, you know, I'd written this book that the primary character is a boy, and all these editors who were rejecting me were saying, oh, well, girls won't like this character and da-da-da-da-da. And yet all my test readers were girls, and they all kept giving me back the same notes over and over again, which was like, oh, I really like him because he reminds me of all the boys that I go to high school with. He's always getting into fights, and he never says what's on his mind. And I was like, okay, see, this is it. I want to try to create a character that was like what boys are really like, as opposed to the kind that are like – I call them the whiny, girly boys, you know, that you read in a lot of these, you know, these young adult books. Like, you know, Harry Potter's always crying and whining, and it's like, hey, you don't cry and whine when the bad guy comes. You get up, you fight, you do what you got to do, and then you know, then you cry off in a corner where no one can see you.
Yeah, like the rest of us.
Yeah.
All right. Quick transition time. Speaking of diversity. Since you mentioned diversity, that's something that the captain actually brought to my attention. I noticed it as well. I said, is this an accident or something? I don't know if even Darrow even mentioned this. I was late on CW's Arrow. In the last couple of years, Arrow has, I guess, gained interest. You know, Kevin Smith did his run of Green Arrow, brought him back to life, literally. And all of a sudden, he became cool again. The series, you know, I guess after Smallville, I mean, everyone would probably be in agreement that the first three seasons of Smallville were interesting, and then the next seven were crap in some way. But it stayed around for a decade, so God bless them. So I had a little bit of, I guess, the stink of Smallville with Arrow, but Arrow is completely different than Smallville. It's a lot more harder edged, a lot more Batman-esque. And I guess, as a side note, there's a great deal of minority representation in Arrow, and just casually I noticed that, you know, no one's a trope. There's no really stereotyping. It's pretty cool to see in control, well-heeled, intelligent black people, and not just one, on episodic television. So I said, this is different. You know, they kind of snuck that in. It's a lot of black people in Arrow. Did you notice this, Darrow? I mean, what's the deal here?
Hey, it's the one thing I can't whip it on. Remember, I got all over Smallville for, okay, we'll make his childhood friend, Pete Ross, black, and no one else in the community is black. I got on him for that. But I must say, Vampire Diaries, which I don't really like, but I give them credit, all right?
Vampire Diaries, Nikita, Arrow, all of these high adventure ones that the CW is doing, you see a good minority representation. Not just playing good characters, not just playing bad characters, but well-nuanced characters with depth. And I give them total credit with that. But, and again, when you hear other people say, well, we can't really make this or this for minority-type characters because really it'd be too unbelievable. You have gotten a couple of people now slipped into the Arrow mythos that weren't there before, all right, of minority persuasion that actually makes sense in the long run. And, you know, again, we are at an age where I can't say, where you can't say to my face, it can't be done, say it to me with a straight face and expect me to believe it. Again, it can be done. You guys are just too lazy or don't want to put the effort in to make it believable. Back to you, Afrimer.
Okay, actually, I have a caller. Let's open up the lines and see what our audience is saying. Caller, welcome to the Comic Shop. Your
Hi,
name
guys,
and 916, what's up?
Oh, sorry. Hi, guys. It's Big Sexy Insect. Once again, I'm jumping
oh,
in
yes.
with you guys.
Oh, what's up, man?
You know, just cooling. Two things.
What are your thoughts on Arrow? Have you seen it?
I have not seen Arrow yet because it's in my TV. I've got them all on the in the record queue, but I have not seen it yet. I want to withhold judgment, so I can't really comment. But what really caught my attention about the discussion thus far were two things. One, I think a lot of times when a character who is primarily a villain is played by someone who is of another, you know, race, there's always going to be a segment of the population saying, why has he got to be Asian? Why has he got to be this? Why has he got to be that? Instead of the evil of that character, and I've always found that really troubling to me because why can't we concentrate on he's a bad person as opposed to he's a person of color who they're trying to portray as something less than he is. And the other thing that really, really got my attention was what Kevin talked about in his upcoming novel about the lack of young readers who aren't, using his words, girly boys. You know, I got to follow up on that because I don't know, and I'll again tread real carefully here. I see in society a lot of, using the phrase, girly boys. It's like, where are all the little guys who were like me, you know, playing football and getting into trouble and from that experience? But now you see all these guys crying and wearing the skinny things, and I don't get it. I don't get it. So I'm glad there's something out there for boys who aren't into that, better phrase, metro girly stuff.
Emos,
okay,
they would call them emos. Yeah, that's Daryl's favorite word.
Yeah, can I hit Big Sick Sexy with this one? Can I get back to him on this? All right. Firstly, about his first thing about the villains and things. You see that's also people jumping in who don't know the genre. They'll jump in on the topic saying, of course the only black person has to be that role. Meanwhile, in the book, it has it like that, but you never thought to rip the book because that. The thing that disputes you on that with us is The Last Airbender, excuse me, the true Avatar. Okay? We all watch Avatar as an animated series. There was nearly a white person in there because it was an Asian / Eskimo / Indian type based on their mythos, okay? But then when the script comes out and they said who they wanted to do, all right, you just had all the Indian / Asian / Eskimo people all be bad guys. All the good guys in it were white. That's where we stepped up and said, you know what, this is wrong. This is absolutely positively wrong. There are bad people of every race, but there's also great people of every race. If you're going to try to make a faithful transition, make a faithful transition. Don't just do it and show, hey, you see, the white people win again. And if you want a current example of that, hello, Red Dawn. I saw your trailer, Red Dawn. Nice job there.
Nice job. I'll get to you with a later show. The second comment, all right, the second one, I totally agree with you with, right? And you want to know an example of that? Human Target. Why? That was an adventure scene for me. There was men in that and women in that that were studs. There was men in that and women in that that were doing all sorts of funny yet nice revenge things. There was a hero you could get behind. And what happened?
Some two seasons.
Didn't watch. They didn't even give it a chance. I mean, people, if you haven't seen the new Human Target, because it's off the air now, I encourage you to pick it up and take a look at that and tell me you don't like Guerrero. Tell me you don't like Chance. Tell me you don't like anybody else in that. I dare you. That's the type of television right there I grew up with A-Team, with Knight Rider, with, you know, action adventure right there. But, you know, today's audiences prefer to turn over and watch a 90210. That's you, Alpha Nerd.
Yeah, well, you're onto something. I mean, you would constantly bring up this whole emo characterization or this emo trope that's been interjected in a lot of these properties. And it is a little bit troublesome because you see it repeated over and over again. Even with another one that lasted two seasons I really wish would somehow end up on Netflix, Sarah Connor, the Terminator, Sarah Connor Chronicles. I thought that was excellent, but although that John Connor was somewhat emo-esque, it was a pretty good version of the Terminator that I wish would have been able to you know, finish itself out. But I want to go back quickly to this Arrow deal, talking about all this representation. Captain, any thoughts on this? I mean, we spoke about this behind the scenes.
Well, essentially with – can you hear me? You hear me, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Well, essentially with the Arrow, I wasn't going to watch at all, no way, shape, and form. I didn't like Smallville. I didn't appreciate it at all. So I thought this was going to be along the same type of nuance nonsense as far as I'm concerned. Well, I was wrong. The only other adjustment I had to make, I had to say, okay, you're not watching this in a movie theater, so it's not going to be a huge budget. So when you see special effects, it's going to be tapered down for TV. So once I made that adjustment, I said, okay, there's a lot going on with this show. Okay, even the lead, the individual they have playing the lead as Arrow, a lot of times they use, like, they want to use these pretty guys. He's not so much more of a pretty guy. He has what they call, you know, somewhat of a harder face. Now, he might be a good-looking guy or what have you, but he more or less fits the role. Sometimes they like to put these pretty individuals. You can't use pretty people. This is not Twilight. You know, that's where these people mess up sometimes. So from that standpoint, they picked the right individual for that. And also, you know, the interaction with the black characters, that's the way you're supposed to see black people up in something. That's good. It's well-balanced. Everyone more or less is on point, even down to the individual who was working in the club that was doing security, on point, looks polished. So that drew me in further. I said, look what's going on. I said, okay, let me look at the women. I said, okay, this is what I like to see. Brought me in further. And then as I'm watching, I would say, Arrow is somewhat gangster, my type of thing. You understand? My type of thing is kind of gangster. You know, gangster for television, much as, you know, you can get on this time slot for television. I said, yeah, this is pretty good here. And I'm very critical because, you know, me on this show here, you know, for those of you who don't know, I like to just everything. I'm like Mikey with light cereal. I don't like anything. So I give this right here a pass. I think so far, it's still early. You know, but they're doing a good job. Back over to you, Sir Afternoon.
Well, you know, listen, on the Afternoon show, we're a bit less politically correct, so to speak. You know, we're a little harder edged in our opinion, and I'd be the first. I'll tell you, first to say, I like to see well spoken, well heeled, articulate black people on television. I don't want to see a whole bunch of Shaquans and double negatives and that kind of thing. You know, the gentleman, he's been on British television quite a bit. I'm also an Anglophile, as our audience knows. He has the accent. He's in charge of his corporation. He's Green Arrow's stepfather. I mean, there's a lot of things going on. I mean, you know, it's a lot of things that are definitely 21st century, and I'm wondering who was behind this because, you know, no one thinks this way. You know, in television, we just don't see. We see a lot of the same old, shuck and jive, neo-minstrel black people, and I'm tired of it. So I have to, you know, at least for the moment, unless someone gets killed off, unless they just kill off all the black people mysteriously, which could still happen, I'm very eager about this Arrow thing. So I think episode 4 or 5 comes up this Wednesday, so I can't wait. Let me go to the chat room, actually. Some of our people are saying some interesting things. Tricknology says, the Iron Man 3 trailer, Mandarin not Asian, and then in parentheses, Bane not Hispanic. I had a problem with that also. I was expecting to hear, you know, a thick Brazilian accent or something. You know, that was a little, you know, a little problematic for me as well. He says, I just don't expect Hollywood to change. I'm all about indie media right now. F Hollywood, he says. Then he says, Ben Kingsley as the Mandarin, David Carradine as Kane. Please don't sugarcoat it. It's racist. You know what? You may have a point.
Can't really fight him.
You're on to something.
Can't really fight him.
You know that. You know, listen, David Carradine. I love the late David Carradine. But you know, listen, I'm a big Bruce Lee fan. What would Kung Fu have been like since it was his idea? You know, a Eastern that was really a Western. What it would have been like if Bruce Lee would have been there? You know, he was told, well, you know, you're a little too Asian looking for TV. That's what he heard. I don't know. I think some of that stuff, you know, years later, it's still kind of going down that way, isn't it?
Yeah, but
it would not have been slow motion.
I'll play devil's advocate here. If they did the traditional Mandarin with an Asian actor as looking like the Mandarin, I'm just going to say it right now, we'd be getting a lot more hate just because he was like Yellow Claw. He was like Charlie Chan. You know, that he had all the attributes of the stereotypical / racist Western view of what an Asian was. All right, you put that on the air, and you have no other Asian character in Iron Man to balance him out. Yeah, they would be getting more hate right now. Ben Kingsley is a good choice.
And you know something else, Dal? You gotta, you know, if you want to be technical about it, Ben Kingsley goes back to the early '80s with his stellar portrayal of Gandhi. And you know, are we going to be really specific of him not being a South Pacific Asian as opposed to an Indian Asian or Asian of Indian descent? You know,
yeah.
Are we getting a bit too technical? Because he is Indian. He is,
yeah,
quote-unquote Asian. Is he not Asian enough?
Yeah, and we'll just say it like this. He's a safe choice. He's a name, and people remember him from there. But if you look at what the Mandarin was, if that's what you expected to be on film, then you would have really had the Asian community mad. Let's just say it like that.
You know, let's go to another. Now, we're going to go to the flip side on this matter now. We got about 6 minutes remaining before we go to next door, before we go to Afternoon Radio. Incidentally, Dave, unfortunately, I got an email at the last minute, which is problematic within itself, an email from the publicist of Nelson George, and he's not going to be available going to the next segment, so we're going to talk about other things. So if you want to stick around, you can, but unfortunately, he's not going to be available until, I think, Wednesday, if we cross our fingers. So
these
things happen.
That's fine.
You know,
I had something I wanted to ask, though.
Sure.
Because we've been talking about the casting of villains as people of color, and the other big news is that Jamie Foxx being up for the part of Electro.
That's the next thing I was going to talk about.
Okay. Oh, there you go. I'll hand it back over to you then.
That's that mind meld thing that's going on. As he was saying, to be comedic, what about Jamie Foxx's Electro? I'm not, you know, I don't like Jamie Foxx. He's one of those lower tier Negroes that I don't care for. We're getting close to Afternoon Radio, so this is my conservative.
Here we go.
So we get, maybe because we're getting close to the Afro Nerd Show, and I'm starting to, you know, I don't like Jamie Foxx, but I loved him, all props due, in Ray. But as a personality, he's too shuck and jive, too glorified, too glossy for me. But
okay.
I don't know.
And you know what? I will say it like this. I support it as long as there's other guys getting a chance at the role. If Jamie Foxx is the best bet, all right? Don't just do this to make Electro black. All right. If it's a fair casting process and a whole bunch of people get a chance, that's fine with me. Because here's the key point: there is nothing in Electro's backstory that makes him inherently white. All right. If you were to tell me he was Irish soldier who had then guess what? He can't be black. But this is a generic guy who came across powers. You know, there's nothing inherent in his black story, that the backstory that makes him has to be white. There's nothing there. So I that's why I say, you know what? As long as other guys get a shot at the role and freaking Jamie Foxx is the best one through the readings, then guess what? He got it.
Well, what are your thoughts, Dave, on this? You brought it up. What do you think about this?
I'm of the same mind. I enjoyed Ray, but I haven't seen too many other movies with Jamie Foxx that I was overly impressed with him. He's got a track record of making some really terrible films. Bait
exactly.
was really bad. And then there was another one called Held Up, which was one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life. That was like, you know, clearly he must have been paying off a gambling debt to be in that one. And the thing is like, if my problem will be is, how does he play that part? Because if you know, there's a lot of ways you can go, but if Electro becomes a minstrel shuck and jive character, then, you know, then I have a problem. I have a problem with it. I mean, the only good part of Daredevil was, you know, Michael Clark Duncan. And so my feeling is, like, if Jamie Foxx gets the part and he does really good and people really like it, then at least it's like, it sends a signal that the audiences are willing to accept something. And then maybe we can start casting heroes, you know, black actors in the roles of heroes. So that's the other big problem. I mean, it's one thing that we don't have any black heroes and we don't have any black villains. We just don't have any black people, period, in movies, you know. And so what I'd like to see is you know, I'm all in favor of, you know, when they cast Will Smith in I Am Legend, I was one of those people who was really upset by that because that's one of my favorite books of all time. And, you know, I had this very clear vision of who should play Robert Neville. But Will Smith did a good job, you know, and I can't front on that. It was like he made that movie better than if, you know, Schwarzenegger had been in it, which was, you know, who they'd been talking about for years to be in that part. So to me, it's as long as the movie's good. A movie's a movie. A book is a book. A comic is a comic. They don't have to remain, you know, if you're turning a movie or comic into a movie, you don't have to remain 100% faithful. You just have to make something that's really, really good. That's my feeling.
Right, you know, unfortunately, we've got about a minute or such remaining for this segment. Then we're going to go next door, say that kind of in a humorous way, next door to do Afternoon Radio for the second hour. Dave, you're welcome to stick around if you like. If not, that's fine as well. Actually, we're going to have to close out. so we get to move next door to do Afternoon Radio. We're going to talk about the Zoe Saldana, Nina Simone controversy for a few moments. That should be interesting. Gentlemen, it's been real, and we'll do it again next week. Darryl, any closing thoughts before we go next door?
Nada. Let's get it started. Let's move on.
All right. Folks, we're going to do Afternoon Radio in a few moments. Hold on.
Spock with a beard?
I think not. to vouch for you. Well, the funny thing about vouching for someone, James, is that when that someone shows himself to be less than what was promised, every decision you take from that point on is second-guessed. And that, in my line of work, is suicide. And besides, why does a cool, mellow fellow like yourself want to hang around with a bunch of stuffy old white guys?
Same reason you want to hang around those stuffy old white guys. Power. Connection. But let's keep it real. I'm just a cool, mellow fellow. Just shucking and jiving. Crip walking, basketball playing, singing, dancing, and taking out your garbage. That's what I am to you.
You're right. You are African-American. And myself and my friends, for the most part, don't care for the company of African-Americans. Quite frankly, we're entertained by you. We're thrilled by your high-flying acrobatics on the basketball court. That wonderful sense of rhythm you have. Your animal athleticism. But apart from that, we have no use for you. Understand? I mean, let's face it, James. Do you set a place at your dinner table for your pit bulls? Now, is this keeping it real enough for you?
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man, what is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funk and lesson, sweet tongue grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos, where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a logic.
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Deeper, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Good evening, folks. This is the second half, batting second. This is AfroNerd Radio, or AfroNerd featuring Captain Kirk. Folks, I just got out of line for waiting for gas. I'm saying that in jest, partially. It's half true. It's half true. Talk about 12 hours, literally, 12 hours waiting in line in NYC, trying to get gas, and to no avail. We'll talk about it also with other topics. Folks, a lot to get into. Again, after featuring Captain Kirk. But first, we have to get into some funk. This is Poor Goo by you know who, His Royal Badness. Poor Goo. We'll be back. Let's groove.
Poor Goo. Poor Goo. Poor Goo.
shot. Yeah, it's too hot. All this for it. You don't want Captain Crunch when you can have Trix.
Oh no.
Back, enough of that. Once again, that was Prince, Poor Goo, Poor Goo. Folks, another edition, second hour, Afternoon Radio, a.k.a. Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Actually, we have a full house this time, folks, a full crew in attendance. Captain Kirk, you're needed on the bridge. What's up?
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Shazam. Let's get it started.
And of course, we have the great Daryl B. in attendance for this show. Normally, he's on the comic shop, but he's here for this show.
Well, hi.
Is that it? Daryl.
Oh, I'm just a fly on the wall, so how
okay.
Do you
All right, and let me bring Mr. Dave Walker, friend of the show now, from number 13 fame from Dark Horse Comics. Okay, Mr. Walker, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, terrific. You know, we were supposed to have Mr. Nelson George and Arthur Baker for their Kickstarter campaign, so I'm a bit disappointed that we were not able to get a time for them. So I'm hearing that we might get them for Wednesday's show, folks, so we'll give you more information as the show goes on. Anyway, we have a lot to. We still have a show. There's still a lot to talk about. We have Frankenstorm slash Hurricane Sandy to talk about. For those who are on the East Coast, we're still reeling from that debacle. And but you know, actually, there's some things that were left on the table from last week's show, and I wanted to get into Zoe Saldana and her portrayal, or her upcoming portrayal of the great jazz songstress Nina Simone. There's some controversy about that, so. I want to open up the floor about that issue. That it's gaining some ground in some circles, and I think, as usual, I'm always forever the contrarian. I don't really have a big problem with it, but for some, I'm hearing she's not black enough. I'm hearing that, but I'm one who calls himself the Afro nerd. I might have heard that on occasion myself. Captain, what are your thoughts on this?
Okay, for the public, first thing before I get into anything with this, I want to break down the difference between ethnicity versus race. Let me repeat that. Ethnicity versus race. We had Soledad O'Brien on the show here, and she even said that being Latin is an ethnicity. It's not a race. I know a lot of Latin people run around, and they feel they are a race because a lot of times, you do not want to be termed as black. You know? Sometimes you're very dark, and the first thing you'll say is, oh, I'm not black. I'm Latin. So let's break down the difference between ethnicity and race. Race refers to a person's physical appearance, such as skin color, eye color, hair color, bone, jaw, structure, etc. Ethnicity, on the other hand, relates to cultural factors such as nationality, culture, ancestry, language, and beliefs. So when you're dealing with Miss Zoe, you're dealing with a black person whose ethnicity, okay, is Latin. Okay? Her culture is Latin, but she is a black person by her race. So that kills everything right there. That kills everything. All right? Black woman, culture is Latin. All right? Her experiences, she has a whole rich culture, her language and everything else, though she does speak English, but her culture is Latin. So now, when we get into this quote-unquote controversy, people are in their mindset that maybe she's not black enough. Maybe she's too Latin. This is nonsense. Makes no sense. We don't deal with that here at Afro-Nerd Radio featuring Captain Kirk. That makes no sense. As far as we're concerned, that's all semantics. It's stupid. It's uneducated. Taking a word from Afro, the great Afro-Nerd, you uneducated individuals. It makes no sense whatsoever. This woman can play the role, and she should play the role. Now let me tell you why she needs to go play the role. If you take an unknown actor, actress, and put her in this movie, quote-unquote movie, from the Hollywood standpoint, you might not be able to get bonded. You might not be able to get insured. That means your movie will not get done, people. Maybe you have someone that looks a little bit more, as you would say, blacker, more black than Miss Zoe, to your likings. But your movie doesn't get done. That is the politics with this. Let's just stop it, cut it out. It's total nonsense at this given point. We also had the problem also with Vanessa Williams. You remember Vanessa Williams? People were saying she wasn't black enough also. You know, she's too light, even though her hair is kinky, but she's a little too light. It's not right. She shouldn't this, she shouldn't that. We need someone who's more black. What is more black? Can you tell me? That's a rhetorical question. Back over to you, sir.
Get into it. Caller, welcome to Afro-Nerd Radio. Tell us where you're calling from, 201.
Oh, hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, D-Burk, this is Q-Storm. How you doing?
Pretty good, man. What's up?
Well, really,
I hear that you're on the road. I can tell you that much.
I just wanted to listen in on the show. I didn't want to miss the show. So I didn't mean to be putting Q. I just wanted to check out the show while I'm driving up to Jersey.
Oh, you don't have a – I mean, I have you on now. Do you have an opinion on this or
– Well. Okay, sure. I always have an opinion. I just hope you can hear me.
I can hear you. We'll tolerate you for a few moments.
Okay. Real quick, then. I'm not familiar with the Zoe Saldana controversy, but if it has anything to do, like, the controversy with a few weeks ago about a particular light-skinned actress portraying Harriet Tubman,
I think it's along that line. It's definitely along that line.
Well, I would say that when they say, I am supposing that when they say an actress is not black enough, I don't know if they mean their cultural proximity to black culture or whatnot. I guess, you know, with any actor or any role, the actor has to fit certain characteristics. And I know in terms of this Harriet Tubman role, people were a little upset because they just felt like a light-skinned actress does not adequately portray what Harriet Tubman looked like. So I don't know if it's the same issue, but I think it's a legitimate issue. I think I emailed you saying that, you know, you would not stand by for a light-skinned actor to portray T'Challa, the Black Panther, because it just wouldn't portray the proper character. So that's how I take it.
Well, you know, I don't know if I quite high-fived on that, but I saw your point. Yeah, I don't really go into blacker than thou talk, but I hear I it can become difficult because you do want to see, this goes, has nothing to do with race, it has more to do with what the person looks like. If the, you know, if this is a historical person, so you do want to get someone, what made, and we spoke about him in the last segment, what made Jamie Foxx excellent in Ray is that there was a point where you forgot that it was Jamie Foxx acting. He really embodied physically Ray Charles. He looked, he really looked like Ray Charles and everything. So when you see Daniel Day-Lewis portraying Lincoln, you have to do a second take because he actually looks like Lincoln. So I'm more about that and less about someone's skin tone and that kind of thing. So that's my issue. Dave, what are your thoughts? Do you have a dog in this race? What are your thoughts on this whole controversy,
yeah,
or as they say, non-troversy? What are we dealing with here?
I actually do have some profound thoughts about this. I go back to a film from the early 1970s called Lady Sings the Blues, which cast Diana Ross. It was her first time ever acting. She had, you know, left the Supremes and cast her as Billie Holiday. And at the time, there was a huge controversy because Diana Ross doesn't look anything like Billie Holiday. She doesn't sound anything like Billie Holiday. But at the end of the day, it's still Lady Sings the Blues is a great movie. Diana Ross was nominated for an Oscar for that film. And I go back to that a lot. I think, yeah, it's great when you have someone like, you know, Jamie Foxx playing Ray. But if you have an actor who's really good, it's just an interpretation of the story. Zoe Saldana, you know, she doesn't look anything like Nina Simone, but then she's also not a singer. So she's, you know, there's so many other issues. And what it really comes down to is, are we going to get these movies made and are we going to go see them? Or are we going to, you know, get caught up in the fact that, okay, she doesn't look enough like Nina Simone or she's not black enough. And the thing is that the studio system that creates these movies, they pay attention to this sort of stuff. And then they go, you know, if not enough people see the movie, if it's not a hit, then they go, okay, well, we're not going to make any other movies. And so that becomes what's problematic to me. It's like Zoe Saldana has proven herself to be a decent enough actress that, yeah, maybe she can pull this off. You know, it's just the movie. That's the thing. And I think we get too caught up in does somebody look like, you know, Will Smith, to me, didn't look anything like Muhammad Ali. You know, no matter how hard they tried in that movie, they pinned his ears back. He didn't look anything like Muhammad Ali. Did he do a decent job in the movie? Sure. You know, if they ever get around to making a movie about Martin Luther King Jr., you know, what actor would they get or could they get? Do they get the best actor they can, or do they get someone who looks like him? And it's, you know, as long as they don't get a guy who looks like he's a white guy or something, you know, then I'd have a problem. But there's a lot of great actors out there that should be considered for the part first and foremost, rather than just, you know, is there, you know, are they three shades too light or something like that, you know? And so that's kind of where I go for it, you know. I mean, will I go see the movie? It all depends, you know. I'll wait till we get a little further into the production. But, yeah, I try not to get too caught up in that sort of stuff. I remember the old days before the internet, when people didn't have a chance to complain that loud. I like
exactly.
It better that way, you know. So,
yeah, I'm beginning to think that way. So I see our phones are blazing. There's a lot of calls here, so I'm going to try to get to these calls. But I will say something briefly. You know, this issue can also be conflated. You kind of tapped into something about whites portraying blacks. It's not like that's not happening either. We've seen Angelina Jolie a few years ago play Marianne Pearl, who was a woman of color, I think French and black descent. And she, although, truth be told, Angelina Jolie does have fuller features. You know, she has her infamous lips and that kind of thing. You know, but at the same time, she was tanned and had to put on a curly wig and that whole thing. So does that also complicate matters? And then also, you know, maybe when it deals with black folk, maybe it's the term or the phrasing of black enough that might be problematic. Maybe that becomes an issue. Because I don't know if you want to use that term, because it could get to the point of absurdity. When you talk of someone like Zoe Saldana, who she says in a self-described way, she says that she is a black person of Latin ethnicity. She describes herself as that. And you can look at the woman. She's brown-skinned. And I think her hair, well, if you, I don't know if you're looking that closely at her hair, but regardless, she is still phenotypically a black person, if you can go there even with that terminology. But then at the same time, you look at her, you know, where do we go with this? Let's say Vanessa Williams, and there's two Vanessa Williams, but the Vanessa Williams from the Miss America thing. You know, she's as, in my world, she's as black as anyone else. But they would say that she is fairer than Zoe. So, you know, how do you, you know, it's getting to be the point, you know, this is a brown-skinned woman, but now we're actually slicing the bread now with a brown-skinned woman who's not able to play a dark, even an even darker-skinned person than her. That's my problem. We're getting a little too anal about this stuff. And like you said, you brought up Lady Sings the Blues, which was an excellent film. You know, she doesn't look real. I didn't even think of it that way because she really brought. I thought that was Lady Day. I just thought it was. I didn't till many years later. Well, you know, Lady Day was more of a fairer, larger woman, and she definitely had a different set of pipes than a different set of pipes for sure than Diana Ross. But Diana Ross still did what she had to do. She still brought it. So I think sometimes we can get a little bit too anal on this stuff, a little too anal. So I'm looking at this, people are saying she's not black enough. I said, really? You know, she's a dark, you know, brown-skinned black Latina. What do you, you know, the main issue is we know who she is. If you bring an unknown there, you know, it's difficult enough to have these movies made to begin with. You know, who wants to see Nina Simone? I do, but these people are listening to Waka Flocka, I would doubt know who Nina Simone is.
Yeah.
Let's open up the lines. We have a lot of calls here. Let's get into it. Okay, caller 202, welcome to Afternoon. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from. What are your thoughts?
Hey, what's up, family? This is Tricknology. How's everybody doing?
Pretty good, man. Nice to hear from
you.
We're always reading you. We very rarely hear from
you. Yeah, I don't call it too much, man. I don't call it too much. I'm going to try to do better. But real quick, I know you guys got a lot of calls. Two issues with this Zardana thing. One, I think, is kind of a non-issue, but it's fun to talk about. Two forces cause Hollywood to make the choices that they make casting-wise. One is the financial issue. You know, which actors are going to put butts in the seats in the theater? That's the one thing. The other thing is that Hollywood has this racist, colonialist perspective on the world, and they seek movie themes that promote that ideology. So in this context, we have a Halle Berry playing the African hero Storm in the X-Men movie, which people was up in arms about. But, you know, if you recognize the root of it, then you understand. So, you know, when it comes to Nina Simone, I mean, Zoe Zardana, I mean, she can act her ass off. She's beautiful. If you guys seen Nina Simone, she's a goddess, but I'd rather see Zoe. So I just hope that she sings Mississippi Goddamn.
Yeah. Well,
that's all I got to say, man.
Listen, Nina Simone is bad. We play Nina Simone music on this show, obviously. We do urban alternative music here at Afternoon. So I'm a Nina Simone fan. But also, hey, Zoe is fine. Let's be frank about it. She's fine. So
a damn good job playing Uhura, too. Damn good job.
That's true, too. So I'm wondering if it's more about politics here also. More or less, you know, we deal with this on Afternoon that – she may not be black enough politically because we've seen her paramour. She's had quite a few Caucasian men traipsing through her bedroom. Is that an issue? That's what I think.
Maybe if Obama was a little darker skinned, maybe. I think Obama would have got the black with the darker skinned people. They got a little more props in Hollywood, but I don't know. We got the black Spider-Man. I guess that's all we get for 4 years. I don't know.
Well, and we have to wait to see. We'll see that on film as well. That would be interesting as well. Okay, Trick, listen, we got more calls. Continue listening, continue supporting, man. We appreciate it.
Take it easy.
All right, let's go to one more call, and then we're going to go to a quick musical break. We do have to do the urban alternative music thing here. All right, folks, again, caller, welcome to Afternoon. Tell us who you are. 916, what's up?
Hey, guys, it's me, Big Sexy again.
Okay, didn't recognize your number. That's okay, what's up?
First, I want to say hi to Q-Storm. What's up, dog? Secondly, on this whole Zoe Saldana thing, and I'm going to borrow from you guys, so I do apologize for ripping off your trademark, but I believe that a lot of the conflict is coming from the lower tier, and it,
yes.
because they're not seeing Shaniqua
it always is, so.
And all that. You know, I'm tired of that. I read an article years ago, well, a few years ago, from Jill Scott about how she does not like interracial dating. I don't give a damn what Jill Scott likes. That's not the thing. You can't quantify a person's identity of blackness. You know, for years when I was growing up, you ain't black enough. The fuck does that mean? I'm tired of it. It should not be an issue. I know I'm going to get in trouble, but I don't care. That's I'm tired of it. Zoe's a great actress. Let her do her thing. And let's face it, and I'm going to go there further, nobody wants to see Shaniqua on the goddamn screen anyway. Yeah, I said it. Okay, I'm done.
All right. All right. Usually we don't really – we try to do a clean ship here, but we're going to – but we're excited. He was pretty hard on that. You know, we try to keep it Disney and PC – well, not PC, but we try to keep it Disney. But, hey, you know how I feel about a certain cultural standard that's taken over our country – well, taken over – that has been taken over as the black cultural standard. So, what are your thoughts on that, Captain? I mean, is he on to something?
Whoa, boy, whoa, that was heavy. I agree with him. As I said earlier, you know, a lot of the choices are made politically. If you don't have the right actress or actor, you can't get bonded. You know, they'll turn around and say, well, this is that budget. If you bring in this actor or actress, no one's not going to see the movie, so we won't bond the movie, so it doesn't happen, you know. And the public doesn't know anything about that. Politics plays a big part in everything. It has to make money. Very simple. That you understand. Everyone understands. It has to make money. So actors and actresses are chosen in part on that. Also the look and everything else of whether they can do the role. But at the end of the day, it has to be able to make money. You bring Miss No Name, who looks exactly like a particular individual, it doesn't work. They're not going to bond the film, and it will not happen. So it's real simple, you know, at the end of the day. And I agree with what he's saying. It's coming from the lower tier. It always comes from the lower tier. So there you have it.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead, Daryl.
I'll just use a personal experience, and I don't know, and this will be opening up a can of worms, but I'll just say it like this. In high school, I was always picked on. In high school, no one would ever give me the time of day. When I was a senior in high school, I started date a white classmate, all right? A pretty white classmate, Jackie, wherever you are, I hope you're doing well, okay? And me and her were hot and heavy. We'd be holding hands. We'd be doing all that loving thing. All right. One of the days in the hallway, a couple of sisters came up to me and go, yo, you're betraying our race. You're dating that blank blank. And I looked at them straight out. And I go like, excuse me, aren't you the one who would taunt me and call me kinky hair and say that? Aren't you the one who called me a four-eyed Negro? I'm cleaning it up, obviously, like that. Now all of a sudden, you care about my race and what I am doing. Why didn't you care about our race when you were taunting me like that? Slammed the rocket, turned at those two, and walked away. As long as I was happy with what my choice was, you know what? The rest of the world could give a damn. So to Zoe Saldana, good luck in the world, because I love Nina Simone. And I admit that when Zoe was chosen, I was kind of put back a little. But after hearing some of these uneducated responses, and this is why I love AfroNerd, our guys give educated responses. You're hearing here history. You're hearing here what we have learned. Okay? So for all you uneducated guys and gals who want to rip on this, how about getting some education before you rip on it? Enough said. Zoe, I love you, darling.
Yes, Zoe fits in the Afro nerd scheme of things. A nice bit of oil on her wouldn't be bad there, I'm just saying. Anyway, all right, gentlemen, let's go to a quick groove. We do have to do the, well, you know, listen. We play all types of music here, but we emphasize the urban alternative because, hey, listen, this is called the AfroNerd Show. We're going to play what other stations are not playing. We do the non-stereotypical black thing. All right. This is Fishbone, Ma and Pa. We'll be back in a few moments. More urban alternative, and let's groove, gentlemen. Hold on. Mighty Fishbone, Ma and Pa. Where else will you hear this kind of music, folks? I'm just sick and tired. I'm going to go into my rant, so you just got to just deal with it. I'm sick and tired of the Waka Flockas and the Chris Browns and all these quote-unquote real niggas, as they say to us in their Twitter accounts, on their Twitter accounts. So on occasion, every once in a while, you'll have a bright light, and this is the show where we will play Prince and Fishbone and Bad Brains, and we'll play Nina Simone. We will play the good stuff. We'll play the funk. We'll play everything that is not being played on conventional radio, because no one else seems to be doing it. Someone has to do it, so we have decided that we will be the person to do that. All right, folks, again, after featuring Captain Kirk, the call-in number is 646-915-9620. We have some friends in the house. We have Mr. David Walker from Dark Horse Comics. He's in the After Nerd show. Normally he would be in Comic Shop. So he did a transition. Now he's on, I guess, the harder-edged Comic Shop show. Of course, the captain and even Daryl B. is in attendance. So we have a lot to talk about. Let's talk a little bit about Hurricane/Frankenstorm Sandy. We are still reeling, at least for those who are in the northeast. I know I am. I was in line for approximately 12 hours with the Oracle. For those who are longtime listeners to the show, the Oracle is my father and also the tangential producer of the show. So we were going back and forth, talking about lower-tiered Negroes in the car. That's our pastime, that we do that. 12 hours, folks, 3 a.m. to 3 p.m., attempting to get gas, and to no avail. That's just one thing. Even earlier today, before the broadcast, when the captain and I were in the gym, still people in line wishing for gas. So that's one thing that's going on. This is harkening back to the 1970s, OPEC gas crisis. We're seeing that again. We're seeing people siphoning gas, stealing gas. I've seen that going on now. People are becoming feral somewhat in the tri-state area. What are your thoughts on this, Captain? What's going on? Armageddon.
What do you know about the 1970 OPEC gas crisis? What do you know about it?
Well,
that's
I'm
a
not
long time
say.
Ago.
I'm not going to say. I'm still a young man in theory. I'm not
that's a long that. Time ago, man.
Well,
a
maybe. That's not talking too much, Captain.
You know? Well, I can talk about it. I'm 60 years of age.
Oh,
you know,
go, please.
So, okay.
Don't, let's not get stupid. Shave up a couple of decades, sir, please.
You know, I look so good for my age. You know?
Okay.
The rest of you can look this good at 60, man. Amazing.
All right.
You know?
I'll let you. That's all you. Go ahead.
Well, here's the reality of it. You know, gas is very essential to all our movements that we do. You know, the buses, you know, the businesses, you to get wherever you need to get. You know, everything runs in gas. Even your household, you know, a lot of the households run on a form of gas. But the reality, the disaster here in New York took place via Monday going into Tuesday morning. The disaster is over. Now what you're dealing with is more or less what we call inconvenience. Your way of life has been disturbed. And there's one good thing about New York City. Say what you want. If you live in the five boroughs, You can get to where you need to get to, in most times, via mass transit. It will take you longer, especially if you're used to driving. But you can get to where you have to get to. You can get by for about a week or two, or 2 weeks or so, in a crisis such as this. Your lifestyle has been changed. So all the fighting that's going on the lines, people pulling guns, go easy. Go easy. Go easy. Things will return back to the norm, what you're used to, until, of course, another storm hits. That's a whole other story. Or until another natural disaster comes. That's a whole other story. But right now, things are slowly going back to what we call the norm. So go easy. God forbid if New York City, who's supposed to have a higher grade of people than New Orleans, if we had a Katrina-type situation, we can't handle it. We'd really get feral. We were watching these people on TV say, oh, look at them. They're acting like animals. They're looking like this. They're looking like that. Imagine what you would do right here in New York. You're losing your mind over gas. I can't get gas. I can't get to here. I got one way to figure out. Get on the bus. Get on the train. Do things a little differently. Think it out instead of just being a robot that's programmed. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Back over to you, Sir Affleck.
Yeah, I will confess that this is pretty early to go feral, isn't it? I mean, you know, like you said, this is more of an inconvenience thing, and already we're talking about people that are stealing gas from other folks, as if it's really that bad. I mean, it's inconvenience, but you figure it wouldn't be, some Dawn of the Dead scenario. But it's coming off that way. We're hearing folks in the Rockaways, again, for the listening audience, so we have folks that are listening in England, for Christ's sake, but this is a nabe in Queens. Breezy Point is no longer with us, in theory. That's been leveled. At least 100 homes have been leveled. But we're seeing that even the homes that have been completely decimated or a shell of themselves, we're seeing signs from the homeowners threatening looters that you will be shot on site if you attempt to take something from our property. So that's going on now. And as you just alluded to, Captain, there was a gentleman that cut the line, cut one of these infamous lines I was talking about, and and in an indignant way, when folks obviously were angry with him, he took out a gun and said what? He took out a gun to defend his new positioning. So it's going down. It's going down. I do hope things will resolve itself, but it's a little problematic to see this kind of thing. Daryl, listen, you're in Georgia now, correct?
Yeah, I'm in Georgia now, and people.
So you were here. You were here in the beginning of Mad Max, Terra Dome, or whatever. What's going on?
In the interest of full disclosure, I work at a Home Depot in the New York area. Okay, I work there Tuesday through Friday. All right, I got to see some of the best of humans and some of the worst of humans. Right, in the interest of full disclosure, last week Tuesday, the Tuesday before the storm hit. All right, was when we first heard about Sandy coming up and hitting there. From then, I told my parents, I told my sister, I told my friends, get ready. By Saturday, get ready. All my people got ready by Saturday, all right? And they were like, Daryl, why are you complaining? Daryl, why are you making sure? No, this won't be a problem. Listen, anytime you hear the words tropical storm, hurricane, nor'easter, which is coming up on Thursday, New Yorkers, I hope you're ready. You know, anytime you hear those words, don't play. It's better to be overprepared than underprepared. So much of this city got underprepared. It's why I put in the blog, all right, why I put that I'm never going to laugh at a disaster movie ever again. Why? Because human beings are lemmings. Yes, I said it. Human beings are moths to a flame. Yes, I said it. Listen, if you hear the words natural disaster and might hit us hard, all right, and we didn't even get hit hard. We were in the major path of this, okay? Yo, Delaware, they got hit hard. Pennsylvania, they got hit hard. Maryland, they got hit hard. We got brushed by it except for the coast.
because they had to deal with the high waves, the wind, and the rain. We got brushed by it, and you're seeing how New Yorkers are reacting, all right? In New Jersey, they got hit hard, all right? I'm hearing horror stories from friends down on South Jersey that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. But there are some New Yorkers, nay, 50% of New Yorkers in the city area where you didn't get hit hard, all right? You're just being inconvenienced by waiting in line to get gas. Okay, you're inconvenienced. Talk to somebody in South Jersey who doesn't have a home anymore. You're inconvenienced because there's no generator to help you. All right, talk to somebody in South Jersey or Philly who can't find a loved one. You know, inconvenience is one thing. All right. This guy's acting like we're in Mad Max.
Yeah, already it is.
You still got a car. You still got, there are ways to get around. But just because you're inconvenienced does not mean that you need to be waving a gun. Doesn't mean we have to have fist fights for gas. This is where I pray for human beings sometimes, and I'm not religious. I'm an evil mother, to tell the truth. But at the same time, you're seeing people out there, yo, if it's The Walking Dead, we're dead. If it's 2012, we're dead. Never laugh at a disaster movie again, because we're seeing this right now. And you know, folks down in Katrina, they're laughing. You see, they took pity on us all that time. They took pity on us. But you see, they get a little inconvenienced there, and they devolve into animals. I'm ashamed. I'm embarrassed. I'm angry. But you know what? Hey, what else to expect? We're all human, right? Back to you, Afro Nerd.
Dave, do you have a dog in this race? You're on the West Coast. I mean, you know,
I'm on the West Coast, yeah, but
Mount St. Helens is
going to
erupt again, or what?
I was born and raised in Connecticut, lived in New York, lived in New Jersey. I still have tons of family and friends back there. So, you know, been keeping tabs on everybody, but yeah, I agree with everything. It's it's an inconvenience, and to hear these stories about people, the way they're reacting because they can't put some gas in their car, when it's like you're lacking the perspective of the people who lost everything, you know. I live in fear of a major catastrophe hitting, you know, this country, or even here in the city that I live in. It's like we couldn't handle it. You know, there's a car accident on one side of the town, and the whole city shuts down here. So it's a lot of passive aggressive people just waiting to explode. And that's it. We're spoiled as Americans. We tend to get spoiled. And you know, I mean, look at what happened just with what Sandy did in the Bahamas. And some of these other countries that were hit before it came stateside, and the devastation there is so much worse, and yet we're crying about what happened to us.
Yeah, this really is kind of small potatoes. I mean, it was serious. I mean, if you look at Hoboken,
yeah,
you see that fleet of taxis underwater. Even in downtown Manhattan, looked crazy, but it's still. Even with that devastation, and even with the loss of property, I think they're talking about $100 billion potentially as far as trying to get back to some kind of semblance of normalcy. But Katrina displaced people. People forget about that folks that used to live in New Orleans live in Texas and Georgia and Florida. They do not in Alabama. They no longer live in Louisiana. So. It could be worse.
It could be much worse.
You know, and actually on television, some time has passed. I do remember seeing bodies now. That's what made, I think, Katrina far more devastating because of the visual aspect of it. Sure, there's a visual component to this as well, but we haven't really seen any death. When Katrina was going down, I remember seeing black people drowning and black folks floating. You saw cadavers and carcasses floating around. I mean, that was a totally different scene. And people will get there was a feral aspect to that as well, but it seemed a little bit more plausible because it really was hellish. You had loads of people crossing bridges. You remember there were stories of
masses of people crossing into neighboring towns and being met by those town leaders saying, you can't come in here. Can you imagine that? You know, so, you know, humanity has a capacity to go rogue. We've seen that. And I was kind of joking with you, Dave, about Mount St. Helens. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of on your side. But that was real, too, a few years ago. So that's the only thing I can think of.
But, you know, we've got we exist on there's a major fault line that runs through our city. And, every couple months there's a story about are you prepared for the big earthquake when it comes? And it's you know, I joke with my friends about it because I live on the east side of town, and it's like if the earthquake hits, you don't want to be on the west side because you'll be if you don't get killed, you're trapped over there forever because you can't get across the river because all the bridges would collapse. And for the last 10, 15 years, they've been trying to seismically upgrade all the bridges and all the overpasses and all these buildings. And, like, I've looked at the inspection records, and it's like, yeah, I live in fear of that earthquake hitting where I'm going to be because I know that, like, if I'm in the wrong part of town, it's over, you know? And, no matter where you live, there's hurricanes, there's earthquakes, or there's blizzards, there's always something at some point you run the risk of experiencing. And, you know, and I hope that anyone who goes through it doesn't have to deal with that loss and that fear of not knowing where their family is. You know, those are the sort of things that really scare me, you know. I have friends who live, you know, right along in Connecticut. They live right along the beach, right along where, like, the Long Island Sound runs along Connecticut. And for, you know, like the first day or two after Sandy, it was like couldn't get through to anybody on the phone. And that's a really terrifying thing because you don't know. You know, you're hearing the stuff on the news about, you know, the power's out, but you're like, well, is the power out or is my uncle the guy who drowned in his basement and no one's going to find him for a week, you know?
Wow. Well, this stuff, really, it is real. I mean, I will say this. I've always been somewhat envious of folks who had shorefront property, beachfront property. But now, not so much. Those days are over. I don't think that's the way to go now. I think they're going to have to get engineers and figure out a way to get into the infrastructure and try to straighten these things out because in some ways it's an inevitability when you decide to live so close to, you know, so close to the bay area, so close to the shore. It's not as luxurious when your home is gone. So I think it's something that has to be rethought. We got about 90 remaining, gentlemen. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And one last thing, and I'm sick of this one on television, too, and you guys will know exactly what I'm hearing when I'm saying this. To all those people who say, and I quote this, I'm not going to leave my house. I'm going to stay. All right, for you people, when you say something like that, okay, be prepared to stay with your house in those areas. Don't, after the first 30, 40, 50 minutes of the storm, when everybody's evacuated out, say, call up when you're stuck in the middle of the storm, I need help to get out of here. I need to get out of here because, you know what, I don't want to waste the lives of first responders and stuff to go in and save your dumb ass. When they actually are evacuating everybody and go, I'm going to stay and protect my stuff. This ain't going to hit so hard. Okay, then guess what? You're there. Stay there. I'm not risking other people's lives to go in and save you. Enough said. Back to you, Afro Nerd.
Quick transition time with the time remaining. The obvious elephant in the room, we have about 48 hours. November 7th is coming up. November 6th is coming up. What are your thoughts on the election, gentlemen? I mean, I'm a conservative, a registered Republican, but I am an Obamacan. I do support our president. So I'd like to see him get a second term, but mighty close. The math seems to work in his favor. But now I want to go to the captain. The captain talked about this Redskins principle, which scared me a little bit. Talk about this Redskins principle, Captain. What the hell?
Well, it's a coincidence. Okay, it's not based on scientific facts. Totally coincidence that when the Redskins win on Sunday, the Tuesday before, which the Sunday before the Tuesday election, if they win and it's a home game, the Democrats always win in the House. If they lose and it's a home game, the Sunday before that Tuesday, the Republicans get in.
And they lost
totally
this afternoon.
Totally coincident.
Right? And they lost
And they lost this afternoon. So based on that, this coincidence, Romney's supposed to win the presidency, if you believe such things.
And this goes back, this dates back to 1940, correct?
Yes, you are correct with that. This dates back to 1940. But it's not based on anything scientific. But, you know,
great.
That's why I labeled it coincidence. Coincidence. But you know, some people will say, in the universe, there's no such thing as coincidence. So that's the principle.
So no Obama in office. No Obama in office. I'm blaming Cam Newton. This is great. This is beautiful. Oh, God.
That's why you have to label it coincidence.
Well, I mean, you know, it's another thing, too, is I'm wondering about all the problems with Hurricane Sandy. I mean, it's very specific to a certain region. But people can barely stand in lines for cars, you know, for gas. So now we're going to stand in line, I mean, unless the enthusiasm is there since 2008, which I don't think it is. I mean, when Obama was such a historic election in 08 that I remember a line going around the corner when I was trying to when I voted. So I don't know if we'll see that this time around. But any thoughts on, you know, what do you think? Let's go to Dave. Do you think that Obama might pull it out this time, or will we see a Romney presidency?
I'm hoping Obama pulls it out. You know, I'm really it's always so difficult to tell what these, you know, one poll says this, one poll says that. So I'm just keeping my fingers crossed for the best, because I think at the end of the day, you know, I shudder at the thought of a Romney presidency. I really do, because I'm waiting with bated breath, and I'm hoping that people, you know, I have a lot of friends who are like, oh, I'm just not going to vote because, you know, they're cynical and they're disillusioned, and that's where I think the biggest threat is the people who just aren't going to bother to vote because they feel it doesn't really make a difference, and so that's, I'm just, you know, we'll wait and see. I'm trying not to let my blood pressure get up too much because it's been, you know, getting up following all this news, but we'll just wait and see.
Yeah, like you, I'm trying to also keep somewhat mild-mannered or even keeled on this thing. I don't want to get so emotionally tied to what's going down. I would like to definitely see Obama get a second term. I like his family. I like the way that the family looks. You know, you may be new to our term lower tier, but I think you might know what it means. You know, there's such a ghetto-centric vibe or ghetto-centric umbrella that envelops the African-American cultural experience right now. We don't see all of us, which, you know, I'm a fan of ghetto-centric stuff, but listen, it's a reality, but it's not the only reality. The reason why you hear me playing Fishbone and all these other stuff, because someone needs to hear that black folks are doing rock and roll. We have to see the totality of the black experience. But we see, oftentimes, you know, we talked about Arrow. I was so happy to see well-heeled professional black people on TV. It's been a long time coming, even on a fantasy show. I want to see that. So with Obama, I it's not so much about his politics. I like the fact of seeing a tight brother in office. I want to see another 4 years of that, because I don't want to see Waka Flocka and his ilk. You know, it's still entertainment, but, you know, Waka Flocka and Wiz Khalifa and the whole clown crew, Kanye included, all these clowns, you know, 50 Cent, you know, I can go on and on. Way too many clowns, the court shows, the talk shows. Everyone is doing the minstrel act. So to me, the Obamas represent a shining beacon of black normalcy. So I need to see them for my own sanity for another 4 years just to make me feel good. Honestly,
yeah,
I could care
agree.
Less about what he... Well, I could care less about the politics in some way. I want to see intelligent, well-spoken black folk who people say aren't black, but whatever. Some of us don't think that they're so accustomed to seeing minstrels. When we see black people that could actually put together a sentence, we get scared and say, oh, they're not black. I don't know. I want to see him. 4 years, please. Any closing remarks, Catherine? We got about 2 minutes remaining, believe it or not. 2 hour show.
Well, we'll see what happens this Tuesday. It goes down this Tuesday, whether we like it or not. Whether you're an Obama supporter or whether you're for Mr. Romney, it goes down this Tuesday. So we will find out.
Yeah, you know, folks, I think it's imperative that you vote. We spoke about this. Whatever you think, whoever you vote for, people did die, especially people of color, and others as well. Others as well, but especially people of color did put their lives on the line in order for you to vote. So it's something that to be taken seriously. Don't be so nonchalant and say, well, I'm not going to vote. I think you should vote. Whatever you vote for, I'm pulling for Obama. We'll see what happens. If it doesn't happen, we will still survive, still try to make it. It is what it is. So, okay, we got to move on out. David, we appreciate support. We'll continue to tout your stuff. You're always welcome to come through anytime. We appreciate that. As always, Daryl, you're a member of the team anyway. We see that Q-Storm is listening in his car, so he's converted, so we appreciate him coming through. So we'll do it again Wednesday, maybe. We're crossing our fingers that Mr. George will come through. We're hearing it from his publicist, I should say. It's been real, gentlemen. As always, we appreciate it. We're going to go out on the Mighty Fine, some Afropunk, the Mighty Fine, Ready to Roar. We'll see you on Wednesday. Thanks again.